Do you think the Lord wants us to learn something? Come on! If he repeats it twice, it's pretty important. If he repeats it three times, I would say it's imperative that we get it. And my message today has some of those same themes in that we've talked about before. It's not about just truth, but because we're back in Acts, but that's part of it. So folks, let's get it today, right? Let's get it. So we are in Acts 5. While you're turning there, just a reminder, Jesus is truth. Yes? Okay, and you can yell out amen, whoop whoop, keep going, good word, all of that. Okay? And hey, the same for worship. I was just talking with somebody about that the other day. I see some of you, especially our youth, at camp. And what are they doing? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! And here?
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay? You all, not just the youth, you are free to worship here. If that means kneel, if that means shout, if that means pray, if that means just sit quietly, if that means wave your hand, and if that means dance a little jig, then dance a little jig. Come on. Okay? All right. So, Jesus is truth. He expects us to be truthful, and we are set free when we choose to believe truth instead of lies. Amen, Pastor Kurt?
Amen.
Amen. I thought for sure I'd get one out of him, but He was a little distracted back there. Okay, so we're continuing today in Acts 5. Are you there? Acts 5. Okay, we're going to start with verse 15. So this is telling us what is happening. Remember, we did Ananias and Sapphira and the truth, and then it said that great things were happening. Okay, so some of these great things, these signs and wonders, we get down to 15 and it says, to such an extent, come on, now listen, they even carried the sick out into the streets, laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on them. Now, come on, that's presence. He didn't touch, he didn't pray, he just walked by, healed, 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 healed. Wow. Come on. Let it happen. And also the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together. They brought all who were sick or afflicted, and they were all being healed. All being healed. All, A-L-L. Okay, like that commercial on TV. A-L-L. All being healed. But, so this is some of what we're going to talk about today. But the high priest, the religious leaders, rose up along with his associates, that's the Sadducees, because they're sad, you see. Sorry. Pastor Kurt rubbed off every now and then. And they were filled with jealousy. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in jail. Now, come on. They were praying for people. People were getting healed. Peter's shadow was healing people. By the way, the same Peter who started out a little rough at the beginning, it's him we're talking about. Okay, same one Pastor Adam mentioned. The rough fisherman. But an angel of the Lord. I love this. I love when it says, but the Lord. This is going on. This is not good. It's getting worse. But the Lord. So we were gone, not so good, getting worse. Oh, here we are in the dumps, but the Lord, and see everything shifts. But an angel of the Lord during the night opened the gates of the prison, and taking them out, he said, go your way. Stand and speak to the people in the temple the whole gospel message of life. Wow. Wow. Now think, folks. You were just thrown in jail for doing that. Now the angel of the Lord is saying, so now what do you know? You're doing the will of God and he's going to be there. Go out and keep speaking that message. So after hearing this, they entered the temple about daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest and his associates came, they called the council together, even the Senate. So now it's not just the religious leaders, but in the Jewish culture, the high religious leaders were also the governmental leaders. So now they're calling the Senate together, and they sent orders to the prison. Hey, bring them out, bring them out. So they go to the prison, and they say to the captain of the guard, you know those prisoners we brought in last night? Go get them, we want to examine them. So they go, they look, empty. Now in this case, it doesn't tell us how the angel got them out, but there were guards. So, and the gates had to be open. I mean, they didn't walk through the bars, but they said, it's closed, it's locked, and there's nobody inside. Wow! I love that. So the angel must have opened it, got them out, closed it. I don't know how come nobody saw them going out, but now they're out preaching the gospel. Now, come on! Nothing is impossible with God. Because they were probably in there thinking, oh, bummer me. I was doing what God wanted me to, and when I do what God wants me to, everything needs to work out great, and it didn't, and here I am in jail. Come on, it's called resistance and persecution. Things don't always work out great when we do what the Lord asks us to do. Okay. And someone said, hey, those guys that we saw you arrest yesterday, we just passed them in the temple teaching. Come on. Teaching. They're in the temple. Okay? They're standing in the temple and teaching the people. Oh, wait a minute. There's teaching again. See, now I don't feel so bad. Okay. Then the captain went along with the officers and proceeded to bring them back without violence, because the people, they had such favor with the people, the officers were afraid if they drug these guys against their will that they, the officers, would get stoned by the public. Wow, that's some good reputation with the community, huh? All right, so, oh, and then 41 and 42. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wow. And every day, come on, they didn't go into hiding. Every day in the temple and from house to house. Okay? So yes, they met in the temple, they met in the holy place, but where else were they? Out in public, going from house to house. See, we in the church, and I don't just mean CLCC, we somehow thought if anybody was going to get saved, they had to come here. I think we've missed it. They went out there, and that's what we're learning to do. We're learning it. We're not there yet, but this congregation is doing great, and we're starting to get it. You go out there, you share the good news, you get them saved, or at least hungry and thirsty. Then you invite them in. Then they can meet Jesus. Or they can meet Jesus. You can say, hey, you want to meet Jesus' family? Come Sunday morning. And for years, we thought it was the other way around. We need to go out. Okay. Yes, I was preaching. We need to go out. We need to go out. Don't we, Pastor Kurt? Why are you not whoop-whooping and yay-yaying back there? Come on, I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you. Thank you. Thank you. So what did it say they did? They went from house to house, kept right on teaching and preaching. Okay, there it is again. Teaching and preaching. All right. So if you want to know my title today, I couldn't decide on one, but it's one of two things because they're about the same. Attitudes and responsibilities, or you could call it motives and duties. Motives and duties, attitudes and responsibilities. So what we're looking at this morning is what motivates you and I. That's pretty important. What motivates us? How many times did Jesus look past the action to what was behind the action? All the time. And then we want to ask ourselves as we go through this today, why do I react to that situation like that? Why do I react to people like that? Hey, that's some pretty good questions. Why do I react to situations like that? And why do I react to people like that? And that goes back to what is motivating. Okay, Acts 6. We're going to get all of our Bible text at the beginning, and then we're going to learn from it. Does that sound good? All right, Acts 6. Thank you. I wasn't sure. I don't think he had his second cup of coffee this morning. Okay. Now at the time when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose. Okay, this is easier just to explain to you. So there's original Hebrews, Jewish people that became Christian, that was their culture. They grew up Jewish. But then there was also a whole bunch of people who were of other nations that became Jews, that became believers. And they were saying, hey, you're not taking care of us and our widows like the people who grew up Jewish. And so they said, all right, what are we going to do about that? So the 12 apostles summoned the congregation and said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to wait on the widows. So pick some men from among you and we'll make them waiters. That's what deacons means. Servants, waiters. And it says select brethren of good reputation. See, this is another whole sermon. Good reputation, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, whom we can put in charge of this task. And what are we going to do? What are the apostles going to do? We're going to devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. And they chose the men, as you know. Okay, verse 8. One of those men was Stephen. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. That's one of the first things when I became senior pastor that I challenged our deacons with. Yes, some deacons wait on tables, serve, but other deacons are full of grace and power, and you need to be involved in signs and wonders. And so we did training for like a year just to encourage the deacons, hey, what is your gift? What is your calling? And to step out and use it. Okay, so here's where we're going. This is the teaching part. You ready to learn some things this morning? Then when you learn them, you take them out and use them, right? Somebody trains you how to drive a car, you use it to drive a car. Somebody teaches you how to cook, you use it to cook. So if God is trying to teach us something about truth and about these principles, then we become responsible for taking those things and using them. Right, Emma? Taking those things and using them. All right. So what you and I believe, now listen, what you and I believe affects what we think. It determines what we think. Okay? And then what we think greatly affects and determines our actions. So at some point, it all goes back to what we're believing and whether or not it's true. Because we could have been taught something that's not true. We could have learned something that's not true. We could have grown up understanding something that's not true. I don't know how this could happen, but there could actually be something on Facebook that's not true. You know, if it's on Facebook, it has to be true, right? Okay, so there's all these ways that we can get things that are not true. So we have to discover, are the things that I'm believing about God true? Are the things that I'm believing about other people true? Come on. And how about, are the things I'm believing about myself true? Those are the three things. Others, myself, and God. These are some very important and life impacting questions that we should be asking. because lies will affect our motives and then ultimately our actions. Our motives and our actions. And do we want our motives and actions to be affected by lies? Come on. I'm looking for some response. Okay, thank you. So as mature Christians, as we mature, let's put it that way, okay, because we're all in the process. So as we mature as Christians, as followers of Jesus, our attitudes and motives should change. So we should be able to look, okay, here's where I was 5 years ago. Here's where I am now. Sometimes we have seasons where we can say, here where is where I was a month ago, and here's where I am now. But sometimes we go a little ways, and then we take this nice big jump. Okay? So, or other people, it's just steady. Steady progression. Okay? That will happen if, there's two ifs. Okay? It'll only happen if we allow Him to reveal truth to us, and if we'll choose to believe that truth. If we will allow Him to reveal truth to us, and if we will accept that truth. Thank you, Pastor. And He already gave my verse, so I knew we were in sync today. From John 8, Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free or make you free." I love that. It's like I don't have a choice. If I accept the truth, those prison doors are going to open, and I can now step out into truth and freedom. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, or for sure. You don't have to wonder. If Jesus makes you free, you're free indeed. So what makes us free? Believing the truth. Is that what you want? That's what I want. That's what I want. So I was thinking about, so it's a choice, right? So I was thinking about our choices. Wow. Nowadays, we have so many choices that people in generations before us didn't. So I was thinking just about food. You know, we all like food, especially us guys, so I thought that'd be a popular topic. So we can choose to eat meat or not. Vegetable, fruit, dessert. We can decide how much of each of those we want to eat. We can decide if we're going to eat it fresh, frozen, or pre-cooked. At a restaurant, or we don't even have to go to a restaurant now. We can use DoorDash or Grubhub and get it delivered. Come on. Did you ever imagine that growing up, that you would get on this app and almost every restaurant in town would send somebody like Pastor Adam out with your food, and he would drop it off, and hopefully you'd give him a tip. And now what really amazes me, there is a program that shops, plans, sends you the meals, and you don't even have to leave your house. You just say, okay, I like chicken and pork and whatever it is, and so you get a nice little box like from Amazon. It's not from there, but it may as well be since they own half of the world. And you get this box, and you open it up, and there's all the recipes and all the planning and all the food, and you just have to put it in a pan, and there you go. Is that choices or what? And then I thought, okay, whew, blow my mind. How about coffee? How many different types and kinds and hot and cold and flavors and dark and light and medium and from the moon and from Alaska? I mean, you can pick choices. Choices, choices, choices. Yeah, exactly, exactly. I know, right? So, the same way we get to make all of those choices, we have to make those same choices when it comes to truth. Am I going to believe truth about me? You and I get to choose. Am I going to believe truth about that other person? You and I get to choose. Am I going to believe that truth about God? You and I get to choose. So that also means it's my choice if I get to be free or not. Because the truth sets you, truth sets you free. So I get to choose whether or not I want to be free. Remember, Joshua said, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. So my message is, choose for yourself whether or not you're going to believe true. Okay. So, back to our text, if you think about what happened, we're going to look at some things. We're going to look at two negative things and one positive thing today that determines what we believe, and what we believe determines what we think, and what we think determines how we act. Okay? What we believe determines what we think, and what we think determines how we act. So if we can say, okay, I don't want these two negative things to affect my beliefs, and I want the positive things to, then it'd be good to identify them. So I know I could have picked, oh my goodness, there's probably 20. But I felt the Lord having me talk to you about two, because they're right here in our text, and we're working through Acts. You ready? Okay, you're ready. All right, so we have here in Acts 5, remember they were bringing the sick to the apostles, and they were praying for them, and what was happening? Getting healed. So that's a good thing, right? Well, how did the religious leaders see it? They didn't like it, did they? In fact, they didn't like it so much, it stirred them up to action. They got fired up, they got jealous, they got angry, and what did they do? They had the apostles arrested and thrown in jail, and so they stopped the healing temporarily. So I want to propose to you that the motives and attitudes that they had were based on religious lies. Okay, so now just hang with me here. Okay, and some would even say a spirit of religion. Well, you may think, well, wait a minute, aren't I part of a religion? No. Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. What's the difference? Okay, that's what I want to talk to you about. Religion is serving God based on rules and regulations, and not out of relationship. So then we need to ask ourselves, am I serving God out of rules and regulations or out of relationship? Ouch. Right? Because remember I said some of these lies were things we were taught or we had demonstrated or we used to act that way and it's still affecting us. Okay? It's still motivating us to do things. Religious attitudes say that we do or don't do some things because we learn it that way. We've always done it that way. Tradition becomes the only acceptable way to serve God. You hear me? That's our tradition. We've always done it. And see, for them, people being healed, that wasn't part of their tradition. And somebody other than a priest who went to years and years of training and memorized the first five books of the Bible, someone other than a priest praying for people, that was definitely a no-no. So number one, our tradition did not say people could get healed. And number two, if that ever was going to happen, it would only happen if a priest did it. So that spirit of religion is what stirred them up, that lie that they were believing, and motivated them to throw the apostles in prison. In fact, their religious beliefs and habits kept them from what? Think about this. For hundreds of years, they were saying, Lord, send us a deliverer. Send us a Messiah. We need you. We need more of you. We need to be free. And he shows up and he's standing right there in front of them. And religious spirits so blinded them because Jesus didn't line up with what? Their expectations and traditions, that they said that can't be him. Wow. Come on. So we, the same way, if our relationship with God is only based on rules and regulations and traditions, we can miss what he wants to do. Come on, folks. True? So you and I align ourselves with religious beliefs when we put God in a box and we stop expecting him to do anything new or different. To not expect him to call us forward into new expressions of our faith. See, religion is the antithesis of relationship. Because why? Relationships grow and develop. I was thinking about, you know, our relationships with each other and especially with our spouses. And my spouse was in the sound room and I almost went with my spouse. So excuse me there. No. So, but what about if every single night, now at some point, and I don't actually, it's okay, but let's just say I loved meatloaf. And so at some point my wife found out I loved meatloaf, and every single night, week after week, and month after month, and year after year, I had meatloaf for supper. Because I liked it at one time. And how about, Trish, how about for her, every birthday, every Christmas, every anniversary, I gave her a pair of pajamas. Because one time she asked for a pajama. And she liked them, and she told me she did. So why can't I just keep giving them to her? You see how we get into the tradition? And it was okay for the first 10 years. Lies we believe. So we have to refuse to not partner with religious attitudes and motives, and expect our relationship with God to grow and develop. Amen? All right. One more negative thing that affects our motives, and of course then our actions, and then one positive thing. So, okay. So we have the religious leaders and how they reacted to Jesus, and how they reacted to his followers. How about the governmental leaders? Well, I pointed out to you, they called the governmental leaders the Jewish Senate. Now, they were occupied by Rome, so unfortunately, these folks had two governments over them. They had the Jewish Hebrew government, and then they had the Roman government. But how excited were those two groups for Jesus? Yeah? No, Marty's gone, no. All right? So, shouldn't they have been excited about Father God sending his son Jesus to her? Well, think about Jesus. He went to Pilate, who sent him to Herod, who sent him to the high priest and his council. Then the Jewish leaders paid one of Jesus' followers to betray him. They gave him a fake trial. They mocked him and beat him. Then they took him to all of those leaders, and Pilate finally sentenced him to death. Wow. I would say the political realm did not treat Jesus very well. And the political realm here did not treat his followers well. So then that makes me ask, okay, how can my attitudes be affected by politics? I want to see if I can explain this to you. So we looked at the spirit of religion and how it can affect us and the lies we believe. Here's how a political spirit affects us. A political spirit wants us to choose any issue. Doesn't really matter what issue. Okay? Any issue, and all of a sudden, it's now us and we, and they and them. What did you just do over that issue? You just divided yourself and cut you off from relationship. So like here in the church, now it would never happen in the church. But let's just say, okay, so one of our elders just went ha 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 about that. So we're going to paint the men's room and we want opinions on colors. This never happens, but just for example. Okay, so we have the whole group of people say, oh, you know men, they want blue, so we're for the blue. Then we have another whole group of people say, no, you always paint a bathroom white because then you can use any colors of accessories. So the people here in the blue camp goes, but we and us feel really strongly about this, and we really think it should be that way. And then the white group says, well, they don't know what they're talking about because we know, we've studied it, and you always paint it white. Come on. That's the political spirit. Over paint color. And what you forget, see, this is what we forget. So now this is us, and we're the only acceptable group because they don't know what they're talking about. Of course, they're saying the same thing about us. But the last time we wanted to do carpet, half the people in that group was an Usins. And we loved them because they agreed with Usins over the carpet. But now we've decided we're mad at them because they want white, we want blue. That's what the political spirit does. And you know, now think about the minority we have right here. We are Christians. We are evangelical, which means we believe you have to be saved through Jesus, no other way. And we're charismatic because we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But if I passed around, and I would not do this for this reason, if I passed around a 15-question quiz, I bet you in a group this size, there would be no two people that would be exactly alike. So what the political spirit would want me to do is say, if you don't believe number 8, then I don't want to have any part of you. Because number 8 is really important. That's what a political spirit does. It doesn't care which of the 15 issues you pick. That other person might agree with you on all 14 other issues. But because of that one, it's now us and them and we and that. Yep. So what does that mean? That means we're back to choice, isn't it? That means we're back to truth. We can either concentrate on the issues that make us different, or we can focus on relationship and unity. You can't do both. You can't focus on relationship and unity and focus on differing issues. Now that doesn't mean you can't talk about them, but if your emphasis is the differing issues, what's it going to do to your relationships? Now, you all believe with me, at least I think you do, so I think I'm safe on this one, that the Holy Spirit inspired this. Yes? Okay, I hope I got close to 100% on that. So the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I appeal to you. Come on. That means that he knew we had to be reminded and appealed to. Brothers and sisters, are all of you one or the other? I hope so today. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in agreement with each other, with no divisions among you, but be united in thought and purpose with one mind. Come on. I appeal to you. All right. So those were the two negatives. Two negative things that can greatly affect my motives, my actions, my duties, my responsibilities, greatly affect what we believe because they can motivate us to believe lies. So now let's end with something positive. Does that sound good? Okay. So now we want to look at something that should fill our mind, things that should be motivating our behavior. Back tax sex. Ready? But select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we can put in charge of the task. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. 6-8. And they brought these before the apostles, and after praying, they laid hands on them. And the word of God kept on spreading. The number of disciples continued to increase greatly. Verse 7. Increase greatly. What was Marty's challenge today? Do we want the number of people here to increase greatly? And, come on, a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. They were choosing to believe truth about Jesus instead of their religious traditions. They were choosing to believe Jesus and not allow a political spirit to divide them. Come on. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. So, we're going to do this quick. We're not going to break these down. I might do that next week or some other time. But 5 things from this text that we should be concentrating on. 5 things. You ready? Number 1, prayer. Marty, did I just hit you right there this morning? Prayer emphasis week, prayer emphasis day, prayer emphasis month. Okay. Marty came in and said, hey, we've got to do this. And she's been leading our prayer group for, I don't know, 57 years or something like that. So for however long, and she's calling us to a time of prayer. So number 1, prayer. Number 2, they were teaching and preaching. That's what it said they were about doing, teaching and preaching. 3, serving one another. Okay, remember, that's why they created deacons, serving one another and serving their community. They were going house to house. And they were reaching out not just to the Jewish believers, but the believers beyond that. Number 4, sharing the good news, the gospel, out in the public. I'll repeat these again. And seeing God do mighty signs and wonders in here and out there. Come on, Peter's shadow. Wow. So that means that, okay, we're hearing it all the time right in Harrisburg. We're not talking about Florida. We're not talking about Canada. We're not talking about California. We're talking about right here in Harrisburg. Richie and his teams at the Dream Center see dramatic, miraculous healings every week. Okay, I'm pulling on that. Why can't that happen here in Newville? Come on. That when we go out and we see somebody barely making it through sailors because they can't walk, we're going to pray and believe. They just had somebody healed of cancer. See, we put that letter C this big in Jesus right here. I know we do because I hear how we pray about it. Jesus, I know how big this is and I know how difficult this is. Really? How about a big God, little cancer? Big God, little devil. So if we concentrate on those 5 things, if we choose to allow them to affect our thinking and attitudes instead of religious or political issues, what will we see? What did they see? What did they see? They saw 3 things. The number of believers greatly increasing. Come on. Come on. Great signs and wonders. Come on. And even religious and political figures coming to Jesus. Amen. Do we know some people we can put in that list? Yeah. We need all 3. We need all 3. We need the number of believers greatly increasing. We need signs and wonders. And we need the religious and political realms affected by Jesus. So is that what you all want? That's what I want. And what were the five things? Okay, I told you I'd repeat them. Prayer, teaching and preaching, serving one another, and serving the community. Serving one another and serving the community. We've gotten really well at serving one another, but we want to make sure we're extending that to serving the community. Four, sharing the good news, the gospel, how to get saved, not just in here at the pulpit. Yes, we need to do it here, but where else? Out there. And number five, seeing God do mighty signs and wonders in here, when he shows up, when his presence comes, when we're praying for one another, but also out there. Is that right? That's what we need to be concentrating on. That's what we need to be thinking about. That's the truth that will change our beliefs, change our motivation, change our thinking, which will change our behavior. Okay? Sometimes we try to work on our behavior, but we're not changing how we're thinking or what we're believing. It won't work. It just won't work. I mean, your willpower will get you through a couple days, and you'll be grunting and groaning and moaning, and it's such hard work. But if your belief changes, all those other things automatically change. So let's expect him to reveal truth to us and then choose that truth. I want to read part of 1 Corinthians 13 in closing. So let's stand. Final closing, Pastor Kurt. Final closing. So listen with me, because this is what? What's in the word? Truth or lies? Okay, so that means we choose to believe truth over lies. Okay. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag, is not arrogant, or rude. Love is not irritable. Ouch, that one for me. And my wife's not here, so she can't go whoop whoop. Okay, love is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. Ooh. Ooh. You always, you never, you said, you didn't say. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Amen. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. One, that means in him and in each other. Is always hopeful. Wow. This last year and a half, that's been tough. But is this truth or isn't it? And do we want to be motivated by love or not? Love is always hopeful. And, listen, it endures through every circumstance. Amen? Amen? Some of us have had some circumstances. Some of us have had some circumstances. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, thank you that you care about us enough that you began the process and you'll complete the process. But it requires us being willing to go with you through the process. That means letting you change us, letting you teach us, letting you instruct us, letting you change our beliefs, our motives, and our actions. So we thank you for the truth that you taught us today. Truth isn't always easy to accept. Truth sometimes goes against things within us. Things tend to rise up when we hear truth. But help us to choose your truth this week. Help us to reject lies that I've believed about myself, that I've believed about others, and that I believed about you. I choose not to partner with a spirit of religion that says that I have to follow you out of rules and regulations. And you're just saying, I just want you. I just want a relationship with you. And as you get to know me, we'll work on those rules and regulations. And I don't want to partner with a spirit of politics that's always about division and how we're different. I want to partner with a spirit of relationship and unity, your Holy Spirit. Because your word said, let there be no division among you. And I want to emphasize and make most important in my life those five things that you taught us in your word that we need to concentrate on. And then I'm excited because if I partner with truth and I'm set free, then we're going to see more believers coming in. We're going to see more miraculous things happen in here and out there. And because I'm affecting the world, religious and political figures are going to notice the truth and want you as well. Yay! 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 As we affect the world, they can't help but notice and be affected themselves. Come, Jesus. You're the way, the truth, and the life. So come and bring truth. Come and make a way where there seems to be no way. And bring life out of death. And the believer said, amen. Amen.